Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
CJ Hurt's going to join us during the next segment. He has been texting Kevin about our discussion about Timothée Chalamet as well as celebrity fans, so I'm sure we'll pick that back up with him. But before we do that, let's get into the list. SEC spring meetings. All right, Kevin. This is from Heather Dinich of ESPN. LSU's Brian Kelly on Wednesday said SEC coaches favor adding one non-conference game against a Big Ten opponent in a scheduling agreement, but, quote, they need a partner to do it. Quote, we want to compete against the Big Ten, Kelly said following the last day of coaches' meetings at the annual SEC spring meetings. Look, the Big Ten right now holds it on the SEC. They won the last two national championships. That's the reality of it. We want to get challenged in that regard, and we'd like to be able to get that done. This is up to our commissioner and the ADs to see if that can happen or not. But that is the wishes of the room. So the first question that I have is, you've got to have a partner who says we're in for that too. So the first question I have is that the Big Ten saying we're in agreement? Or, as I suspect, they're looking for a television partner to say we're going to pay for this. I think they're trying to sell an SEC Big Ten because if you recall at our, I believe this was one of the Nashville, remember we had the meeting of the minds, the SEC and the Big Ten met in Nashville, I want to say maybe last fall. Reportedly, one of the things that got kicked around was an SEC Big Ten showdown, if you will. But I think what they were trying to do is they were trying to figure out if there's a way to separate it from their current television deals and sell it as an additional stream of revenue. Because right now, the way that it would work is whoever would be the home team, that would be part of the TV deal. So, for instance, we're going to open week one with Ohio State and Texas at 11 a.m. Central Time on whatever, the Saturday of Labor Day weekend. So what I'm kind of curious about
hopefully
is
better weather that weekend than we have
I would
the
think.
Labor Day weekend. Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's actually what they're hinting at.
I think so. And with a lot of these TV deals, you know, you're negotiating on television in a way because TV people are watching. But
And everything just gets negotiated through the media.
That's
now
just what they do. I mean, it's a media deal, so it's gonna get done. But yeah, that's to me. I saw some, you know, all types of was it some type of story about a Philadelphia congressman wanting to investigate the SEC and the Big Ten for collusion?
Yeah, I think that I don't know if it was Philadelphia, but I've seen that there was a elected official that was saying that he wanted to investigate.
Yeah, that coming up, you know, wanting to investigate, and it's always it's fascinating that you know the Congress has not got involved in this yet, but there was always Congress got involved before, right, with the NFL and college football. Like, it
I think if they wanted to be involved, they do. I think what they
would
do
Would
they
is, be involved at this already? I don't know.
I think they want to score political points. Because I think, in general, though, if they thought it was... If they thought they could score a win somehow, some way, they would. And yet, every time any type of piece of legislation... Like, we even had bipartisan piece of legislation. I think there was one... Was it Hawley and Booker together authored a proposal?
Sounds possible. Like, what were they trying to do?
I mean, basically, it was trying to like come up with NIL system and making like the ways that they can get paid and what like. But it was like the strangest of bedfellows were working together.
Well, I mean, did you see what else? That's not the only big SEC news this week that involves politics, because Tommy Tuberville officially announcing in the past 24 hours that
he's going to make a governor run.
That he's running for the governor to be governor of Alabama. He currently, fun fact, does not live in the state of Alabama, according to most reports. He is a Florida voter. I don't know. He's going to have to move back, I guess, to be governor. I'm guessing.
Do you not have to have a primary residence to be a senator?
I guess it doesn't happen. We've seen over the years many people find ways to...
Hillary famously moved to New York because that was where she could get elected.
Yeah. He's registered to vote, it seems like, in Florida. At least that's his primary residence is in Florida, from what I have seen. Now, research that, George. Can we find out where...
But for him, it would just be, you'd have to win the primary, right?
Yeah, it's
because I would assume whoever wins the Republican primary is going to win the governorship.
I am stunned, politics aside, that of anything, but like that this guy in a state that is split, Auburn and Alabama, and it is a majority Alabama state.
Yeah,
that they can elect a coach from Auburn to be the senator. Now, is it governor? Is that to step too far? We will find out.
I would think, though, he wouldn't announce if he didn't feel good about his chances, right?
Well, that's always the job that Sir Chuck has always talked about running for, And
he used to, and then he's like, "Why would anyone be involved in that?"
Oh my goodness! But if we had Tuberville versus Charles Barkley for governor of Alabama, that'd be something.
I don't think Tuberville, like, what we'd want to see is like the debates and the sparring stuff, and I don't think Tuberville would. I think Tuberville's pretty good at sizing up his opponent,
right? That's for sure.
But there was another lead though from spring meetings.
What else we got? I keep seeing Paul Feinbaum.
Well, along those same lines,
in front of a beach.
Yeah, so they're at the Hilton in Sandestin. I think fifth grade spring break. I think the rights took our talents to the Hilton. It was big time at the time because you felt like you were in a king suite because you walked in and there were like bunk beds and are like basically like a former closet that they had hollowed out, and then you had like the actual spot where like my parents would sleep. But the Hilton Sandestin, shout out to the banana daiquiri at the Hilton Sandestin. But I thought you'd like this lead from Ralph Russo. Lane Kiffin, voice of reason. That's where college football is in its latest long and winding journey to a new postseason format. Looming college football playoff expansion has been the hottest topic at the SEC meetings this week, as the conference considers the best way to ensure the rest of college football properly respects its authority. The best system should be 16 teams and should be the 16 best, Kiffin said. So this was something that I thought we about maybe bringing up on Buy So Short or Go to Reddit. Are we in agreement, though, if you're going to come up with a 16-team playoff and it's not just seed it 1 through 16 and play it like every 16-team bracket we've ever seen in our lives, that's officially stupid. Like, should there be a requirement that your postseason is easily digestible?
Yes. I think it needs to be.
So, I think for college football, for sure, because you're going to be largely dependent on the casual fan getting involved late. But, right. NBA kind of has a convoluted...
In theory, it should be very easy to bet on. You should be able to have an office pool on any playoff. some type of way. And
like the latest one is, and it's clear what they're trying to do.
What's the latest here?
Oh, God. Where's the... It sounds like a soccer model. All right. 4-4-2-2-1-3. So, essentially, it would be 16 teams.
Okay.
The number one team and the number two team would have double byes all the way to the quarterfinals. 13 would play 16, 14 would play 15, and they basically would play their way into the bracket where 12 through 3 would play.
Right. This is not the play. This is reminiscent of like what we were going through here with the NBA play-in game and different scenarios. And that's how you get to the playoffs. I don't think that's how you format your playoffs. I think that's a little... can be confusing enough in a lot of sports, on especially in the NBA, made it harder to figure out if your team's making it, right? And what you're supposed to be cheering for at the end of the season. I don't think that's the solution. There's been still a lot of panic about these games that we saw, these blowout games, right? That made people feel like, oh gosh, there's something wrong already. But,
well, like that's kind of what makes me laugh is everything that's happening right now is a knee-jerk reaction to what we saw last fall.
One time, yeah. One time is what we saw.
And I guess maybe you can make the argument, since this is the last of the 12 team, whatever happens is irrelevant because they're already moving to 16. But it feels like there's just going to be another thing that we'll overreact to.
Well, the byes will be eliminated, right? When we go from 12 to 16.
What did I say? It was 4-4-2. I'm trying to show... This bracket is so stupid.
It's complicated. It sounds complicated. But like you could have a loser's bracket. That would be interesting.
Double elimination football.
I'm trying to think.
We're trying to make it less complicated.
That's what I'm saying. I'm trying to figure out anything that would. I'm trying to figure out what would be easy to follow, and that's the only thing I can think of that would be easy to follow is a double. It would make a double elimination if you're trying to do something.
If you're trying to do something like that, where you've got like these crazy buys and
super
things
extra
like that,
buys. Yeah,
I'm fine with the 5 and 11. I don't see the problem with the
so
5 conference winners and 11 at large. Is that not the pushed one right now by the Big 12 and like a lot of the coaches?
I guess though my argument would be is,
do we even have a fifth power conference?
Why just do six? Why at that point? Why not just pick the 16 best teams?
I mean, that's what Kiffin and Kirby have said.
I mean, 16 best teams, then leave a G5 spot.
So 15,
whatever.
15
and one. Like, I'm fine with 5 and 11 or whatnot, but it's also like,
I'm fine with either one. I think both of those are simple enough to where it's not crazy to follow. Because the one you just told me, you're right, that sounds like a soccer formation, and that doesn't make
sense. I'm trying to find the graphic. Like the actual graphic of the bracket was so insane.
I would love to see it. But that aside, while you're looking at that, and this is not anything that we discussed in any pre-production meetings or anything, but I'll throw this question out there.
All right.
Like, if you were at these meetings, what do you think the SEC should be bringing up as a topic? Like, what should be being discussed by the Southeastern Conference at their coaches'
spring meeting
in Destin?
I mean,
they don't believe that summer starts at Memorial Day.
I would say, in general, the topics they're discussing are the topics they should be discussing. I don't like the direction that it's going. Like, in the end, the 9-game schedule, conference schedule should be discussed. The transfer portal should be discussed. And the playoff format should be discussed.
And you don't like the direction, obviously, of the playoffs because we're looking at that. The playoffs need to be simple. SEC's trying to figure out a way to get the number of teams they feel like deserve to be in.
They're trying to avoid a situation like last year where they feel like the teams that are inferior got in ahead of them.
Yeah, they're trying to rig it.
They're trying to make the rules. Their spin zone would be, we're trying to make sure we don't get screwed.
There's no way, I think, unless they had just guaranteed a number of teams. That's the only way. Because they could try to manipulate the rules and change them all they want. The problem is these SEC teams going forward are going to have more losses than other teams. And unless they're getting a guarantee, like, they're going to have more. Like, I do think that what we saw this past season is true. Now, not necessarily. There could be the one dominant team. We could see a Georgia or, you know, Nick Saban come out of retirement, and we could see a team dominate the SEC and be the best team in the SEC. But the other teams are all going to have – they're going to have multiple losses. I don't think that was, like – I guess think that's something that did happen that will happen again.
My argument, though, would be it wasn't the additional –
because it's not just Jeffrey, it was the year without Saban, too. You got to remember, this is a year without Saban.
Right,
so like,
but like in the end, the problem was not that Alabama lost to – honestly, the problem really wasn't that they lost to Tennessee, and you can even say Vandy. The problem is, in addition, they lost Vandy to Oklahoma.
Ooh. Yeah.
The same thing with Ole Miss. The problem for Ole Miss was not losing on the road at Florida and at LSU. If those would have been their only two losses, Ole Miss would have been in the playoff. The problem was Kentucky went 1-7 in the SEC, and you were the one at home. So,
but you're going to keep playing these high-level mediocre opponents like a Kentucky. Like it's you're still playing these teams
Kentucky
that are really good.
First-round draft pick,
right?
Like they're trying to say that what they can't say out loud is basically, hey, for the most part, no one in our league is awful. And it's true. At the same time, though, you got into this situation where you've decided that everyone is equal. And so now, basically, they're paying the price for what they didn't do last year. But I think what actually annoys me the most is it feels like everything they're doing right now is designed to how can we create more money, and it's like, all right, I get that. Like, that's, but it's like, all right, we'll play an extra game if you pay us more. Like, honestly, like the things that they're griping about, they get mad at the players that every time a guy has a good game, he wants to renegotiate his deal.
Yeah.
You're doing the same thing.
Oh, yeah, all right, 100%.
We'll play another game if you give us more money. All right, 100%, yeah. How can we'll do these play-in games, but you're going to also have to give us a double bye for the SEC champion because we're not giving that game up. And then I think the other...
that's a double buy. It's
insane.
That's absurd.
But then I think the other thing that you're watching is there are competing interests even within the league. Like,
it's getting bigger.
Coaches want the same thing that the ADs want.
Right.
And the ADs don't necessarily want the same thing that, honestly, fans want. Like,
and we know what the players don't want it, right? They're going to sit out...
I think right now the players are just kind of kicking back and being like, sounds like more money for us.
Sure. But. So the fans, what do the fans want an easy to understand playoffs? And we want close games, but like you're just not going to be able to guarantee that. It happens in the NFL. It happens.
That would be interesting. SEC fan want a 9-game schedule?
I think more SEC football is a good thing for the fan, right?
Okay, but
I would say, sure.
I think that is another opportunity for another loss.
Right. Which...
Because if you go to a 9-game conference schedule, I can tell you what the math checks out. There will be 8 SEC teams that lose.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to make it even harder, for sure. I mean, we look at the reverse when you're looking at Memphis Tiger football, right? Like, the schedule is easy, so the Tigers are actually, if you could put a good team together, you're in great position to make the playoffs.
Right.
It's the reverse if you're in the SEC. But that's what, I mean, but if you truly are the best, then
but if
you're
paying,
at the top, you're in great position.
And if you're paying for season tickets, I think you'd rather...
You want to see more SEC games, right?
I think you'd rather
see
bigger
Montana
games.
Montana State.
I think in general, the ADs are I think what I found interesting is I think the coaches are... Today, it seemed like they're talking out of both sides of their mouth. They're publicly saying, oh, we'll do the 9-game schedule, but they throw conditions. I don't think the coaches want the 9-game schedule. I think the coaches want the 8-game schedule and schedule an extra win.
I think so. Oh, well, I think that's true.
But I think, in general, fans would rather see an additional good game. Like, I don't know, George, if you were buying season tickets, wouldn't you rather see one less Furman in another conference game?
Yes.
Oh, absolutely.
Even sell those tickets if you didn't couldn't go.
And that's what I think the ADs want that, but I don't think every AD wants that. I think the mid-card and the bottom tier want the extra game because they want the money. But I don't think the top wants the extra game because it's another chance for a loss.
But that's the thing. With everything else we're talking about with the playoff, can we actually sit here and blame them when at the same time we're all looking at it and saying, well, you're the ones who created this whole issue in the first place with this whole strength of schedule conversation. If we make the schedules harder, do they still get not rewarded for it?
I think that's their hypothesis is that. That's why I think they've been making that's why Sankey's been making such a stink. It's why he gave that answer where if you play the number one ranked team,
yeah, and it play it gets to that middle ground.
Right. And so like I mean honestly, I think if you want to looked at SP Plus, I think of the 16 SEC teams, I think 13 were within like the top 30. And so,
exactly, and we're going to sit here, and some people more than others are also going to then sit there and crucify coaches and ADs for saying, hey, maybe we don't want to do that when we're not reaping any benefit from it.
Here's a question I've considered that I don't really...
Is this one we've heard?
I mean, this is ABC's headline right now about what's going on in Florida with the SEC. SEC spring meetings. The future of college sports is in the balance at Florida Resort. Like, the future. They've got it hyped up. That will affect your weekend.
That's a lot of juice.
I think the SEC is trying to position it like that. I think they want it to make it seem dire.
Should they be fighting for making sure guaranteed home field advantage for the power conference, something like that's, I think home field is a big factor.
Kevin, come on. We got to take care of the bowls.
Yeah, we still have to have bowl games. Come on.
We got to have all these bowl games.
I know.
That are part of the playoff. I mean, to me, it's like.
That's what makes it very,
Do a 16-team playoff, seed it 1 through 16, every game's on campus until you get to.
Yeah, but how do you decide
eight?
Home? Well, you got to figure out.
I would even say, honestly, the final.
The SEC's got to figure out a way, how do we get home field in most of the games. That's what they got
to
figure
out. I mean, to me, it's like the simplest is get rid of the committee. But like, to your point.
And do it with baseball style where they have like an actual metric for, which I understand there's still a committee for that.
The net, the RPI.
I mean,
whatever, you come up with a formula. I mean, you could go back to the
BCS. Do we just move it all to Omaha?
I don't think they have a bigger stadium. I think the SEC thinks that the new stadium in Nashville or the Mercedes-Benz Stadium, those are good venues for them.
Yeah, that's all right. That's fair. That's
but fair. I mean, once it's built, Nashville.
I think to your point, though, the biggest issue to me is the issue that they are not even remotely addressing.
Which is
the fact that you have
what they need to address. Is what I'm saying. That's what I'm trying to get.
Balance
what do they
schedules.
Need to be
I don't care whether or not you play, eight or nine games. The fact that they're just acting like the unbalanced schedule is not really an issue.
Do you have a solution?
Yeah, it's the same solution I proposed. There's 16 SEC teams.
Yes.
Take the final standings, rank them 1 through 16 based on how they finished.
That's easy. That's easy to do. That's easier to do than anything you can rank.
Yeah. The teams that the odd teams, so 1, 3, 5, 7, 9, 11, 13, 15. That's your eight games, and then the evens play each other. It's not going to be perfect because obviously you're doing it based on last year's standings, and we've seen teams will turn over. But that would be a heck of a lot more balanced than what we've got.
What? So it would eliminate the third Saturday in October.
Correct. You're not preserving some of these rivalries. And like my deal is okay, fine. That shouldn't be that hard to figure out on a spreadsheet. You protect a game, and flip it with someone.
Yeah. So there would be each team would have one protected. You'd have Iron Bowl and you'd have Egg Bowl and you'd have
The Florida Georgia game or
was it LSU Arkansas or something like that?
Sure. Why not? The one main one we have to
Texas Oklahoma.
Texas A&M. I don't care about Red River.
that, not anymore.
The Texans, when you see how much they hate
Jeffrey,
each
other. I just wish you were in these meetings. I wish you were down there in these meetings. There's the coaches and Jeffrey.
You can do the show from Zoom. Like, yeah, so you can do it from Zoom. Get you down there. Talk to Brad.
Oh, no, but like that's the thing. They're not interested in solving that.
You don't think they are?
No. They're not even mentioning it.
Oh, the unbalance? No, of course not. We haven't
heard
of it.
They're not interested in solving that.
I mean,
but you could say the same thing for the other conferences.
No, I said the Big Ten has the same. But they play nine conferences.
They're not looking at themselves.
Guess how many teams are in the Big Ten? 18. Take my same approach, seed it 1 through 18.
Because that doesn't make money. That doesn't make money.
No, because
there could be a TV special where they do they pick if it's odds and evens and
do it World Cup style. Put everyone into a lottery ball machine.
Oh, the pots.
Yeah,
and
draw them out. But they're not interested in that because what if we didn't get the Ohio State Michigan game this year?
And because they could
protect one.
Well, whatever.
Keep
then
one.
You don't get Ohio State, Penn State. You don't get
wham.
You don't get all the. This is what the TV networks are. In the end, they're beholden to the TV money.
Yep.
And the TV networks are like, absolutely not.
So why do you think they don't care about fixing? Because this is obvious to
that's
all
not where
of
the money
us
is.
That the problem. But they're not looking at themselves in the mirror, or because there's no money involved in this change, because all the changes involve money somehow.
It's because it's a non-starter for TV.
It makes things harder. It's a non-starter for TV.
Yes.
We're not going to get...
We didn't pay for that.
But it just seems like the problem, like we've said, I feel like we're in an era now where, because of the unbalanced schedules, it's going to be harder and harder.
Oh, absolutely. As the leagues get bigger and bigger, yeah.
To have a better record. It's one thing when it's a 14 playoff kid. Is there one SEC team that's going to be great that's going to deserve to get in? It didn't matter if they had more because the best SEC team was always going to get in a 14 playoff. But now that it's getting expanding up to 16, like that net below that is always teams that probably have more losses or will have more losses because
it's a judge's decision,
right? And the records don't look as good as the other. When there's more people trying to get in the door and with resumes with potential to get in the door,
right.
It's going to make it harder for the SEC.
That's why they're panicked.
Right. And that's what, but to go back, I like your solution and reimagining how the schedule is done would be forward thinking to benefit. I mean, it could put the SEC in a position where there's obvious top, like they have the top four teams in the country. Like, because if it's going to
be, it's honestly, I don't think the Big Ten actually engineered it this way.
Yeah.
But what worked out great for the Big Ten was they really only had like four good teams, really three. And what happened was those four teams only lost to each other and then they beat everyone else. And so the problem that the SEC had is Vandy beat Alabama.
Right. You're losing to the wrong others.
Oklahoma beat Alabama. Kentucky beat Ole Miss. You had...
And then two of those three you just named beat South Carolina.
Correct.
Which puts them at the bottom of that pile because those
right.
are direct losses. Have they announced how they're going to build out the schedule beyond this coming season?
No.
So when they added the two others, everyone got a two-year slate where they just flip home and away.
Right.
Which we all knew that already.
And the Big Ten did a thing where basically one year you're playing... half of the teams, and the next year it flips.
So those 2 years have already been built out
right.
already, which was last year and this season, this coming year.
Yeah.
Beyond that, we're still in the dark completely.
Yeah, because they don't even know if they're going to play 8 or 9 games.
Apart from some out-of-conference schedules,
correct.
Because those
and
I
think
signed
the,
up
the rotations ago. That they used to have, I don't think apply starting next year. I presume if you were one of the teams that didn't see Texas in this, you're going to see Texas next year.
Probably flip that with a
and then
Georgia
same thing with
or an Alabama.
If you didn't see Oklahoma, I think you're going to see Oklahoma.
Yeah.
I think that's how they're going to do it. But no, it's great. It's awesome. It's awesome. But we're just solving problems that don't really need to be solved.
I'm just glad. Now, it feels like summer now. We're talking SEC football. We're getting ready. It feels like summer. The weekend didn't help, but here we are. I like it.
All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, CJ Hurt joins the program next right here on Jeffrey Wright & Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
MLB.TV is home to baseball's biggest stars. Watch every out-of-market game, live or on demand.
He got it! Woo! This is
plus, you'll get 24/7 access to MLB Network. Stream every big pitch.
He struck him out!
Every home run.
Gone!
Everything baseball. All season long on MLB.TV. Start a free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
CJ Hurd is a Grind City Media personality. Of course, you can see him every weekday on the Jessica Benson Show with CJ Hurd. Also, check out the HBCU Huddle. Follow him on Twitter, on X, at ConRadicalness. CJ, Kevin tells me you're weighing in. I think Kevin was the only person that was really questioning whether or not Chalmay's a real fan. My bigger deal is, should the Pacers be allowed to claim the celebrities that they did last night?
Who did they claim?
So they basically were claiming AAA, I'm fine. Mellencamp's fine. Mellencamp's an Indiana guy. Like, by all means, okay, claim Mellencamp. I'm good on that. But, like, they were kind of claiming 50 Cent, Triple H, and who was the... and Jelly Roll. Jelly Roll's from Jelly Nashville. Roll. And the thing that shocked me about it, I thought 50 Cent was a Knicks fan.
I think he is a Knicks fan, but you got to think about it. Right, it's
he is a businessman
finals.
First.
Businessman first. It'll be much cheaper to see a game in Indianapolis, I'm assuming.
But he wasn't in Knicks gear.
In Madison Square.
Like, that was what was weird, is he wasn't in Knicks gear. Like, that was very confusing to me.
Oh, everybody who's a fan doesn't wear the franchise or program that they're a fan of. I got one Michigan t-shirt, and that's it. And I just got that. So for some people, they're a fan, and they just don't buy any other team gear.
Did you see what he was wearing, what 50 Cent was wearing at the game?
Wasn't it just a t-shirt and a hat?
Oh, he was wearing a shirt. He had a free Diddy shirt on. He was trolling. You know, he was trolling Diddy.
You know there's beef there. That's what 50 Cent has
been. Yeah, I'm going to go out on a limb and guessing he's not rooting for Diddy in this trial.
Right.
I don't know. He's got a story. I can't remember which I don't think it was Charlamagne. I can't remember which radio show or podcast he was on.
Breakfast Club, maybe.
He talks about Diddy coming up to him like, yeah, man, let's hang out. Let me take you shopping. He's like, yo, wait a second. What grown man take another grown man shopping? Get away from me. You're weird.
No, I think that's more than fair. I guess this is the other thing I was thinking about. Do you take Indiana seriously against the Thunder, presuming that that's where we're headed because they both are up 3-1?
I'd have to take them seriously. They got there.
I guess this, my question is, for instance, when the Heat got to the finals to play the Nuggets, I didn't really take them seriously. I'm not saying that they didn't deserve to be there. They played the games they won. But in terms of being a credible threat, like, I did not take them that seriously. And I feel like I'm doing the same thing with Indiana, despite the fact that I think Indiana's actually better probably than the perception is. But at the same time, it's like, I just kind of feel like whoever wins the East, I'm not taking that seriously.
I think that there is something there, because I'll take it if we can look past the finals towards next year. Let's say they do get to the finals and they lose in six games, right? Where would you have them in the preseason predictions in the Eastern Conference? Would you have them ahead of the Cavs? Would you have them ahead of the Celtics, even though the Celtics are without Tatum? Would you have them ahead of those Knicks who they will have just beat in a seven-game series in the conference finals? Hell, would you have them confidently ahead of a team like the Pistons, young, feisty, up-and-coming, a team like the Magic that they were just injury-riddled all season long? But when they're healthy, that size, that length is a real problem. Where would you put the Pacers going into next season?
Don't you feel like it's a complicated question because we don't know, like, what's Boston going to do financially? Like, are they going to start? Are they going to view Tatum's injury as a chance to, like, unload roster? Because, mm-hmm. like, if they gut their team, well, then I'm putting them ahead of them. But to your point, like, do I think Vegas will have the Pacers ahead of the Knicks when it's all said and done? Probably not.
Is wonderful time for you people who like parody, and I like parody as well. I think parody and dynasties both have their place in sports. And right now, after a decade plus, maybe two decades of dynasties in the NBA, let's think about it. Shaq's Lakers, Tim Duncan Spurs, LeBron, Steph. Yeah, so like this dynasty.
I mean, really basically about like an 18-year period, because I think the Lakers' first one was 2000, right?
Yes.
And then really that honestly like kind of comes off the heels of the Bulls dynasty.
It did, yeah.
Which so kind of comes off the heels of the Lakers and the Celtics dynasties.
So this league that has been run by various dynasties for most of its existence, right? You pick a year and you say, I know this team is going to be there and they'll win it, and then we'll sort of figure it out from there. You get surprises every now and then. You get those Pistons, the Chauncey Billups yeah. Pistons knocking off Shaq's Lakers. You get Dirk Nowitzki and his Mavericks knocking off that big three Heat squad. So you get that every now and then. But in a league that has been run by dynasties for so long, to see this type of parody in it is refreshing and it's good. And I think it gives hope to not just everybody who doesn't have a dynasty, right? But it gives hope to the small markets. We're talking about Indiana and Oklahoma City competing for an NBA championship. And I think that the NBA can pat itself on the back some for the way that they decided to do the luxury tax to make it where you can no longer just sit up there and buy superstars. You have to be able to build a roster without going into not just the first apron, but the yeah. second apron of the luxury tax. This is what the league wanted. The league wanted this, and the league is made up of the teams. It's more small market teams in the NBA than big market teams, because that's just how market size works. And the small market teams can look around and point to this year and absolutely say, this is what we wanted. We wanted teams to be built without this need, this thirst for a big three, and we wanted small markets, and that's what you got here. Now, I'm not sure what TV thinks about that, but that's where we are.
Yeah, I don't care about my television thing. But it is, it's two small market teams, two teams that under these names and these locations have never won an NBA championship. So we're going to have, you know, a new NBA champion, which is it's just crazy. It's just crazy. The hope before a season now, where it's like 10 or you could say 10 plus teams could have a chance to win, you and you could be confident. You could give me a list of them. I would be like, okay, maybe those teams, I could find a way that those teams could win preseason. But in the old days, growing up for us, it was always maximum three teams had a shot. But like, usually it was one team was going to win it, but you could, these are the three because somebody's coming out of each conference.
I mean, that's kind of
where we were.
I've mentioned this to Kevin, but CJ, I'm curious to know how you feel. I also think it means we have to recalibrate what it means just to win one title. Like, for a while, it's like, eh, you only won one, and like that was kind of used like as a knock against you. Yeah. But it's like, I don't know, right now, man, you look at it, it's like Jokic's one title standing up pretty well. Giannis's one title. Like, I think, like, even when you compare it to Dirk, like, because Dirk was in that era of the dynasty, like, I think it makes you realize it's going to be a little bit more year to year. And I think winning a championship should be something that should probably be more, like, I think it should kind of go up in value from what we've used to think of a team winning a title meant.
Go up in value, how so? Because I think once you win the championship, that's it.
Yeah, like, but like, I would say this, like, you know, for a while it was like you had to be a multi-time champion to be like listed in the all-time greats. I think with how difficult it's going to be to win multiple titles now, like it's not taking away anything from the other generations, but I think it's also recognizing it's going to be really hard to win multiple championships, even consecutively. Maybe the Thunder will prove that wrong, but I think it's just going to be
so that's
more
impressive with what Golden State just got off of, or
I'd say Golden State's kind of the end of what CJ's talking about, where they were able to assemble a roster that was just so
Past decade, this is going to be the fourth team. This is going to be the fourth team to win their first championship in this. In the past 10 years,
we're
starting with Cleveland in 2016 to Toronto to Denver.
I think we're guaranteed the seventh consecutive different finals.
Which is,
yeah.
Which is awesome.
I will say Jerry West only got one, and he's a daggum logo. So I think.
Yeah, but like, you know what I mean? Like when we do the GOAT. Like,
he didn't win one with the Grizzlies when he was the executive.
No, he won an executive of the year. But, like, you know, Jerry West doesn't get put up in the GOAT conversation. You know what I mean? Even though he is the logo, like, I'm with you.
Yeah. I guess that the you got to have something to differentiate guys. And one championship, Dr. J, I think, is a
– I think he has one, too, yeah.
He's got one. And you talk to players from a certain era there or right after him, and they all credit him with, like, getting them into basketball and interested in basketball. And that's somebody that Magic Johnson wanted to play like and Michael Jordan wanted to be when they were coming up. And those two, I think, would be in everybody's top 10 and somewhere. And Dr. J isn't, probably because he's only got the one championship. So I get what you're saying. I see what you're saying.
I mean, he was busy. He had a lot of patients. You know, he's like running a hospital.
But, like, you know, with Dr. J, the problem was, like, his teams always had to go up against those Celtics teams. You know what I mean?
I mean, so did Isaiah Thomas and Joe Dumars, and they found a way to beat those Celtics.
Well, I'm thinking Dr. J's really before that, right? He's more like 70s, right?
I think yes, you're right. You're right. But that goes back to the dynasty thing. The Celtics had dynasties for all of the NBA's history, it feels like and seems like.
Does this say something about – go ahead.
Now there's parity. Now you're looking up in true parity, not like, oh, the Celtics aren't winning it, but it's probably the Lakers, or the Celtics and the Lakers aren't winning it. Oh, well, it's probably just whoever the best player is in the league at this time, be it Steph, LeBron, Michael Jordan, and I think that's the list. Now it is, okay, the Celtics and the Lakers aren't winning it. Neither are Steph and LeBron. And you look up and it's, oh, my gosh, this team in Denver's winning it, and the team in Milwaukee's winning it. And this year it looks like it'll be somebody from Indiana or Oklahoma City that's going to win it. And, again, so many times during that Steph Curry Warriors run – I heard people who would knock the NBA for saying, oh, we know what's going to happen. We don't need 82 games for this. We know that it'll end up being Steph and Kevin Durant and Draymond and Klay Thompson and whomever else is on the Warriors hoisting the championship at the end of the day. And now you can't say that. Now you've been clamoring for parity for quite some time, and now you have it in the NBA, and it's great.
CJ, we appreciate it, buddy.
I appreciate y'all.
That is CJ Hurt of Grind City Media. When we come back, we tell your story next, right here on Jeff Wright and Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
All right, Kevin, for days, don't tell the story, tell your story. Let's go to Terry Bradshaw. When he was asked about the Steelers pursuing Aaron Rodgers, quote, that's a joke. That is, to me, just a joke. What are you going to do? Bring him in for a year? Are you kidding me? The guy needs to stay in California. Go somewhere, chew on bark, whispers to the gods out there.
This is the takes I need on my Sunday morning show. He's saying he needs to retire. Give me some Bradshaw there.
Terry better watch out. They might.
He might get replaced by Aaron Rodgers.
I think you might put them on the advocate as many quarterbacks staying out there as long as possible.
Have both of those guys on the same set. He's just helping Aaron get this job at Fox.
Coming to Fox this Sunday. Want to thank CJ Hurt and Chase Mann for joining the program. If you missed anything, be up on the podcast show after the program ends. For George, for Kevin, this is Jeffrey saying thanks for listening. Keep listening. The Gabe Kuhn Show is coming up next.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Can't get enough baseball? Start streaming MLB Network today. Get up to 15 out-of-market games a week live on any device, plus 24/7 access to MLB Network's award-winning shows, including live game look-ins and exclusive player interviews. And hear live radio play-by-play from all 30 clubs with MLB at Bat. Enjoy the home of baseball from virtually anywhere. Plans start as low as $5.99 per month. Sign up now at MLBNetwork.com/stream. Available in the U.S. only. Blackout restriction applies. Visit MLB.com/subscribe for full terms and conditions.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.